Welcome to this week's Hit the Target podcast, proudly brought to you by Hollywood Bets. I'm your host, Jesse Nagel, discussing all things FIFA World Cup. And what an amazing tournament it has been, full of surprises, so many ups and downs. And yeah, we're almost at the halfway mark now and at the business end. And yeah, to discuss things with me is the ever-present Chadley Nagel, as always. Chad, how are you feeling about the World Cup?
I'm good. Very excited because we've reached the knockout stages, so it's entertaining from here on.
Yeah, just to paint some visuals.
More entertaining, actually.
To paint some visuals to our listeners, Chad is in his Brazil shirt today.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of optimism coming from that end of the studio. But, yeah, Desh is also in studio, Desh Patap. Desh, our listeners have been quite interested in what you've been saying recently. So many stats and facts and very insightful comments from your side. So glad that you're back this week.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, I think that's something that people out there look for, you know, especially our punters. So I do hope that it is a value added service that you guys make use of. And keep an eye on Netherlands. I did call them at the beginning. And they're still going strong into the round of 16.
Should we start with that fixture, the Netherlands against the Americans Saturday? I feel like, yeah, Netherlands, Desh, I do get what you're saying, Desh. They have been quite solid, but there was that one game where I was like, okay, maybe against tougher opposition, they could have got hurt here. But against the USA, how do you think they're going to fare?
I think the game that you're referring to is the opening fixture against Senegal.
Yeah.
They were very slow, very didn't look themselves, didn't look like they were there.
Ecuador as well.
Yeah. So, but in my preview and in my my initial dialogue, I did mention Cody Gakpo, and I thought De Ligt will be having a better tournament than he is. Yeah. But I think with Gakpo, I hit the nail on the head there. Man has got 3 goals from just 3 shots on target in the World Cup.
Is he the player of the tournament of the World Cup for you so far?
Definitely.
Is it?
I've been on the Gakpo bandwagon. I'm sure Premier League club has been scouting him before this, and he's definitely, if
I
he wasn't on the
Premier
radar,
League club.
I wouldn't mind having him in an Everton attire. But if you actually look at the Netherlands 11, the front line haven't opened their account.
Yeah.
Gakpo has been stealing the headlines, but really Depay should have.
You think there's more to see from this Netherlands team?
Yeah. I think they will start coming in and it could be in this game. You know, it's against the USA, not a football powerhouse by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
Could be a relatively easier battle if it is. I mean, obviously, all due respect to the USA for coming to the World Cup, but also making it out of the group, very, very, you know, caps off to them. But yeah, I can see a Netherlands win in this one.
An easy fixture in the round of 16 at the biggest stage of the tournament. No,
I think I disagree. I definitely agree with USA not being, you know, a football powerhouse. But I do think that this is the most exciting USA side that we've seen probably
at least over the last 12 years.
Yeah. You know, like before they were like, you know, they probably had just like one or two guys, like a Landon Donovan,
Clint Dempsey.
But you know, now the team is, you know, they've got quite a bit of talent in their side from Dest. They've got you know, Christian Pulisic, who's been one of the players of the tournament so far,
in my opinion.
You know, they've got Reina from Dortmund. They've got a talented side.
Yeah.
And I think they have a coach who who has an approach to games where, you know, they fearless. They have this never say die attitude, and there's a reason that America are unbeaten in the World Cup so far.
Yeah, I feel like when I watch this USA team, and I don't know what you guys think about it, but even when you look at Americans in the Premier League, like Chad, you mentioned Christian Pulisic, Tyler Adams, and I think his name is Brendan Aaronson from Leeds. They're also in the squad.
Yeah.
And even Jesse Marsh as a coach, I'm sensing a bit of, I just look at them and I see like shadows of Germany and how the Germans press and how Klopp, you know, utilizes his tactics, whether it be for Liverpool or back in the day in Dortmund. I just think there's so much high intensity with this USA team. And Desh, you mentioned the Netherlands attackers. I feel like the Netherlands defenders could be hard at work. Yeah.
It could look against England. They actually had more shots than England. It was 10 shots for the USA.
And Matt Turner, Arsenal goalkeeper as well.
Yeah. So they do have, they're capable of creating chances and, maybe not finding the back of the nets.
Yeah.
And that could be something that they need to work on. Could be their demise. I'm excited to see what happens, but I think it's the Netherlands. I can see Netherlands progressing in this one.
Yeah, I think Desh was just, talking about comparing the shots, the amount of goal scoring opportunities, 10 shots opposed to 8 from England. And not only that, I think the best chance of the game fell to USA Christian Pulisic when he hit the post.
Yeah.
So they looked the more threatening. And I just feel like they know that they're underdogs going into this game, but that's a tag that they'll probably look to probably use it to their advantage because I love the way they play on this. Yeah, they do thrive in on the underdog tag, and I think that they play with the brand of football that's exciting to watch. It's fluid, it's quick, it's effective, and I also think they're grafters as well. You know, they're willing to get stuck in, and I just love how fearless they are. They have this like we don't respect our opponents type of a way of playing, where it's just gung-ho in a way. And I think Netherlands have all the quality in their side, but the players like Depay, who haven't come to the party, De Jong, yes, he scored, but he's capable of so much better. There's a couple of players that really have to bring their A game, because I honestly feel like if they don't, it's going to be trouble.
Is there too many question marks going into the round of 16 fixture then for Netherlands?
There's certainly questions for me of whether they are the real deal, or is this building for the next big thing. But I just feel like at the same time, credit to them, they've topped their group without breaking a sweat.
Yeah.
And I think that, most sides that can do that and win games without, we normally say the teams that win without playing their best continuously, that's the make of champions. Mm-hmm. So credit to them.
Who goes through? Because Desh is saying Netherlands.
Netherlands are the bookies' favorite, the much fancied side. And looking at the quality, they've got players that play across Europe's finest clubs.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like the Americans have a lot of fight in them. Like I said, they've got a never say die attitude. Mm-hmm. I think that they can take the game to extra time, and who knows what happens from there. But I'm gonna go for a draw.
I just want to build on your point about Buddha fighting them. I actually looked at the numbers. They've committed 40 fouls across their three fixtures.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
15, 15 and 10.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
And they are still yet to lose a game.
Yeah.
Undefeated. Yeah. They were hard done by Gareth Bale. I think he scored a penalty late in the game, over 80 minutes. So the numbers doesn't tell the full story, but I'm expecting a dogfight against Netherlands. I think maybe a scrappy 1-0 to either side, but I think it's Netherlands.
The winner of that fixture will play, of course, the winner between Argentina and Australia. Desh, how do you see that one faring?
For me, I'm happy Messi is in the headlines for the right reasons. Man's got 3 goal involvements in his 3 outings. Could have been more. Interestingly enough, only Kylian Mbappe has taken more shots than Messi has in a World Cup thus far at the time of recording. However, it's Messi that has registered the most shots on target. So he does have his shooting boots on him, I'm sure.
And Cody Gakpo's been better than both Messi and, and Mbappe. I'm just clearing up something.
I see what you're trying to do. But yeah, for me, I'm not an Argentina fan, but it's good to see Messi doing the most for his country.
For football.
Yeah. I must be honest, I'm quite surprised to see how everything unfolded for Argentina. I mean, it looked like they were in danger of even progressing to the latter stages, to the knockout stages. And now we see they topped the group. not only have they topped the group, but they've, with all due respect to Australia, they've earned themselves a favorable draw in the knockout stages. And I think it could be written in the stars. It looks like, you know, like the football gods, so to say, are in favor of Messi. And it looks like everything's going for Argentina right now, because even when things are going against them, results are going against them, it looks like just... like they just have luck on their side, and I think you need that in a tournament like the World Cup. A lot of sides that have won, whether it's the Champions League, the World Cup, Europa League, all these big trophies, they've won. They've had a little bit of luck on their side when you look back.
Yeah,
and I just think that Argentina have that now, and we know that they have the quality. Mm. It's just a matter of you know, everyone gelling together and like using that opening defeat as, you know, as an opportunity to like. To really, as a wake-up call, because we remember 2010 when Spain lost their opening game, they still went on all the way. That defeat against Switzerland spurred them on. And when we saw them improve as each game went on, I think Argentina will be hoping it's the same for them. We know that they have a quality side. They've got top players. Lionel Messi, sure, he's the GOAT. But there's other players like Alvarez from Manchester City, who scored a fantastic goal in the last game. So I think this is the game of the out of all the round of 16 fixtures of the eight. I think this is the one where I'm so confident to say that Argentina make easy pickings of Australia.
Des Chad made some good points about, you know, there's nothing wrong with losing your first game, yes, and it's how you pick up from there and how you continue to improve throughout the tournament. I suppose it tells two sides of the story, because that could be motivation for Australia as well. They've got smashed by France in their opener. And then since then, they haven't really looked back. I mean, I've been quite impressed. Their recent fixture against Denmark to actually book their spot here. They did that with some relative ease, I feel. So is there any chance of an upset here?
Highly doubted. I'm just looking at a landslide victory for Argentina.
You too as well.
I watched the game against Denmark, and Denmark had them on the ropes, literally the entire game.
Possession-wise, but I mean, were, you know, was Matt Ryan really tested in goals? Was, you know, was it? I don't know.
For me, it's again like I just can't see past Argentina in this one. I want to just hop on Chad's point about Spain and their victory in 2010. I believe they're the only World Cup winners to have lost their opening fixture en route to winning the World Cup. Could it be a case here? You know, they were,
things are starting to align for Argentina.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think everybody had a cold shower after Saudi Arabia. I'm sure that the Argentina president could have run the riot act to them, you know. But against Poland, it was really a must win. Going into that fixture, that entire group, anybody could have gone through. It was literally all a case of must win. And they absolutely wiped the floor with Poland. 23 shots compared to Poland's 4. 23. Sure. Absolute, like, hammering. 12 shots on target. Just under 3/4 of the ball. Impressive numbers. I can see more of that against Australia. Like I said, I've watched their group stages. I don't think they'd probably be thinking, how did we end up here?
So to be honest, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. I'm thinking, and that, how did they end up there? You know, credit to them. Yeah. But, you know, Argentina should just brush them aside with ease. Yeah.
Argentina and Netherlands then, I suppose, I'd want to preview this fixture as well, because, you know, it sort of falls within that bracket. If you're saying it could go that way, Netherlands into the quarterfinals.
No, we're saying it will go that way.
Well, there's more confidence. Yeah. So, if I had to put you in a corner just to say who gets to the semifinals between those two, Chad, what would you say?
I think I've not really been too convinced yet with Netherlands, except for Cody Gakpo. He's been fantastic. I think he's the only player to score in every game in the World Cup so far. I think they do have talent in their side, but, you know, with Argentina, their side's a little bit more together. You know, they fighters, you know, the
so Netherlands to get through to USA, but that's the end of the road for them,
I think. Well, I think so. Well, look, Argentina have also showed that they are not, invincible. You know, they have weaknesses as well, and they will give you opportunities, especially if they're going to continue with the likes of Otamendi. For me, he's a fantastic defender in terms of what he's achieved and his experience.
But it's not 2014 anymore.
It's not 2010 anymore. So, you know, I feel like we should have... The Man United defender, Martinez, is so good. Mm. And I feel like he should come into the side. I know Otamendi has the great, that part of that record that where Argentina were unbeaten in so many games alongside the other defender now. I can't get his name, but...
I know it's not Romero.
Yeah. So, I just feel like Argentina, you know, they just need to play Martinez at the back because they do have weaknesses there. But going forward... I think they're threatening.
Dish, earlier you mentioned Poland and how they were completely battered and bruised in the previous fixture, but they threw to the next round, as well as another team who could say they were battered and bruised. They lost their last game to Tunisia, but France meet Poland in the round of 16, both coming into this game off the back of defeats. It's very rarely do you say that in a World Cup game, but yeah, what's your take on this fixture?
It's Griezmann time.
Is it?
Generally, I think it's Griezmann time.
It's been the Mbappe show to date. So
it's I think he's gonna have a much
zero chance.
I think he's gonna have a much more advanced role in the France squad. In the attack rather. Because as you mentioned, it is Mbappe and Giroud, but I think I can really see Griezmann pulling up his socks and really forcing the issue there.
Mm-hmm.
They did feel their second string in that game against Tunisia.
Yeah.
Probably giving their heavy hitters a chance to rest mm-hmm. ahead of Poland, who, like I said, just got demolished against Argentina.
Yeah.
Even though they lost that game, they still went through. But yeah, if I just like those numbers tell me that it's France. Mm.
Yeah, I definitely don't think Poland are a bad side. But I just think of the quality that France have at their disposal. Didier Deschamps is a winner. Mm. He's been there, done that. I think it was quite clever of him to rest his squad, knowing full well that the group had already been secured. Mm. I also like the fact that France are well rested going into this fixture, which is a huge boost for them as well. Gives them a fitness advantage, especially if the game, I don't think it will, but if the game were to go to 90 minutes, you know, their players are, they have the fresher legs and they have the quality. I think there's some players who are also, who are chasing personal awards, like Olivier Giroud. He's tied with Thierry Henry, equaled the amount of gold scored for France. And I think this could be his last opportunity even playing in a France jersey. Because I feel like after the World Cup, they might just not look at him again, because what's the point? You know, they need to build for the next. So I think he knows that if he's going to even become France's all-time leading goal scorer, he'll want to take his chance. I think he will get some opportunities. Kylian Mbappe, like we've said, he's been fantastic. He's been phenomenal. Antoine Griezmann showed his quality as well, that he still has so much to give. I think France also, couple of months before the World Cup, we looked at them and we labeled them as favorites.
Mm.
This was before we knew like about the injuries to Pogba, Kante and Benzema. France at full strength are a frightening force that can actually compete with Brazil, in my opinion, in terms of squad and quality. So I feel like there's a lot of, they know that there's a lot of people that have written them off and are questioning France, and they have their doubts. And I think that this is a time to put in a statement victory, and I think that they'll get that, a statement victory.
So that's France in the for the latter stages, the quarterfinals. That, you know, it's not the first time we'd be seeing that. In fact, they are the defending champions. What about England and Senegal? Because Senegal have sort of been raising the African flag for the continent. The first African team to qualify into this year's knockout stages, and you know, against an England team who are possibly starting to find their rhythm now at the best time of the World Cup. You've got Rashford shining, you've got Phil Foden shining, you've got, you know, Harry Kane assisting. He's not yet found the goals, but he's a player that just you can never rule him out as one of the top players in the team. And then they've got Saka, Grealish, Sterling as well. So it's going to be a tough task for Senegal. But I feel like the Senegal team can't be written off cheaply like you guys have done for the likes of Poland, Australia and USA.
I'm not sure if Senegal can be written off as easy as people might think. Following Mane's injury, the squad has really gelled together. Yeah. And probably a case of stand up and be counted. England haven't really shut out games. Mm. You know, if you look at their group stage fixtures, they conceded two against
Iran
in the opening one. The game against USA, USA had chances. Yeah, chances. It was a better performance against Wales, winning 3-0. So that is two clean sheets, I think, for Pickford and England. So, but
that's to throw that in there.
Yeah, it's unconvincing, you know. And if I look at the Senegal forward, Ismail Assar, you know, he was a club record signing for Watford in the English Premier League.
Knows that, all these English players
exactly. He knows the English game. He knows the defenders. I'm sure Aliou Cisse is picking his brain. You know, like what tactics? How do they play? Yeah. You'll know there's no Calvin Phillips in a team. Jude Bellingham is a German, you know, he's playing the German Bundesliga. He might not gel well with, let's say, Declan Rice, you know. So there is a bit of, you know, I think Senegal do have a goal in them in this one. And Ismail Assar might be the one to get it. You know, his confidence is really high at the moment. He obviously won a penalty in a previous game and he converted it, you know, as cool as you like. Maybe it's a case of no money, no problem.
No money, no problem. They still have your Chelsea stars, Edouard Mendy, Kalidou Koulibaly, who also know the English game, to add to Desha's point. So there's, you know, a couple of players. So Senegal, I suppose, will pose a decent threat to this England team.
Definitely, and especially with the fact that England are yet to hit their stride on the world stage. You know, we know the quality that they have. They've got the talent and the quality that should get them through. But looking at Senegal, you just cannot write them off. You know, it's been a hiccup. We spoke about Argentina losing their first game. We went back to 2010 with Spain. Senegal have bounced back very nicely, scored five goals in their last two games. They looked the part. They've improved. They look threatening going forward. They look solid in the back. Edouard Mendy was after a shaky two games. He's looked a lot better. Koulibaly's been fantastic, especially in the last game, scoring a goal also, which gives him so much confidence because, you know, it's been a difficult time for him, especially the switch to Chelsea. But we know the quality that he is. We know the quality that is in Senegal. We've touched on Saw. There's just so much so much quality in the team, and there's so much fight in Senegal. And I just think that if England are not on top of their game, this could be an early exit, and it could be one where, you know, if they really aren't serious in this game, and if they take Senegal for granted, which I don't think they will intend to do, but I just feel like this could go against them big time, and I feel like it wouldn't surprise me if Senegal eliminate England.
I wanted to be the first to say it, but I feel like you've sort of jumped the gun ahead of me. But I think Senegal will knock out England.
Wow.
They are the African champions.
Wow.
Stranger things have happened.
I think Senegal will knock this England team out, and simply because they'll outrun them for sure, and that's one of England's biggest strengths. So if England can find a team who can outrun them, I don't think England have the quality to, you know, unlock defenses. I think when Senegal, you know, when they decide to shut up shop, England are going to find it really tough. And they, you know, Senegal play a really, you know, solid high line.
Very aggressive approach.
Very aggressive. You know, they'd have to use Rashford on his pace. And, you know, Koulibaly hasn't been in the best of form this season. That move's been hard for him. But one thing he does have is passion and pace. And that's what you need against this English team. So I feel like there's an opportunity for Senegal. I'm actually quite confident
That Senegal are going to take it.
Okay. That Senegal could go through. Whether
I won't be that confident.
I think now is the time for... I mean, from the African nations, at the start of the tournament, before Mane's injury, everyone said Senegal's going to go the furthest.
And we did say that, well, majority said that Senegal... It wouldn't be strange if they reached a semi-final with the quality that they
had. And then when Mane got injured, there was a doubt that came into everyone's mind, which is it's completely normal. When you lose your best player, you're not going to be the same. But then nothing looked different, really, when you look at Senegal. I mean, the style of play didn't change. Alou Cisse is still the coach, and he still implements the same sort of tactics and strategy. I feel like the Senegal team, no Mane, no problems. I
think it's going to be a high-scoring fixture.
I think so too.
It's probably going to be the one to watch from the round of 16. Yeah. This could be the game to watch. I'm sure agents are also watching this because, you know, Senegal being an African country, will have many European suitors for those players that do stand up in this one and take the fight to England, which they have shown that they're capable of. You know, I mentioned Watford saw.
Yeah.
But there are a host of other players that will fancy their chances, shall we say.
And you know what, from all the teams in the World Cup, I think there's only one fan base or one national fan base that are against their current coach. And we saw that in the draw against USA, is that Gareth Southgate got booed, his players got booed, and this is a World Cup where, you know, it's just supposed to be 110% of positivity. And, you know, there's none of that with Senegal. So if Senegal get the first goal, you're going to hear those English fans, you know, jumping on the
players. They'll get against. They'll be against them, yeah.
And then it becomes a crowd of, you know, supporting Senegalese. And from there, it's just going to get extremely tougher.
Yeah, no, I do have a soft spot for England. Mm. You know, we watch English football. My team is English. You know, I have a lot of friends at Absolute Chelsea. English supporters, but you know, I just feel like.
Well, you're an African, so.
I'm an African. I'm not a Senegalese, but I'm an African, and I definitely want Africa to do well in this tournament. I do have an African team that are a bit more fancy than Senegal, but certainly you said it right. You know, at the start of the tournament, everybody was saying Senegal with Sadio Mane, but I just feel like. Had Sadio Mane been available for this game, I would have been very confident that Senegal would actually upset the English here. But I just feel like without their leading talisman, it's going to be difficult. It wouldn't shock me, but I just feel like they do have enough quality. And and with all due respect to Manchester United fans and Harry Maguire, every time he's in the lineup, you just feel like there's an opportunity. Mm. And I feel like the attacking players know that. They look at him and they're like, you know, there's an opportunity.
Speaking of Manchester United men, Marcus Rashford has been on fire for them. If Southgate doesn't play him, I think England could be in trouble because that's the sort of form that he is bringing
into. But then who does he replace? Because you've got Phil Foden, you've got Saka, you've got Sterling. Kane is undroppable, I get that. But who would be the other winger
currently, for you then? Currently, Foden has played 109 minutes in the World Cup. Rashford has played 107, but he's got 3 goals. He's the leading goal scorer, and he's taken 6 shots. I think he's the most, you know, the numbers tell me it's Rashford.
Yeah.
Ahead of anybody else. He's the one that, he's only started one fixture and 107 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's a 90-minute game.
Yeah.
He's played, you know, he has played in all 3 fixtures. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
But honestly, if Rashford isn't in a starting lineup, it could be doom and gloom.
Mm.
And you know, just...
Who completes that front three? Chad?
Well, you know, Rashford certainly has a case. You know, I have to say he has a case. He wouldn't be my pick, you know, when everyone's there. But going on, looking at his performances, you know, his form and the way... Mm. And he's been prolific in front of goal. And when he's come off the bench as well for England, he's come on and he scored. He's looked lively. He's a live wire. And he's what England need at the moment. But I think what helps his case is, I don't know if Southgate will drop them, but for me, my Chelsea guys have disappointed me. And I'm talking about Mason Mount and Raheem Sterling. They haven't been good. And I have to be fair enough to say, you know, I would drop those two players in the next game. If I'm an English supporter and I want my team to go through, those guys are quality, no doubt about it, but I would drop both of them.
But in terms of a front three, so you've got Kane, you said
Kane, Saka, Foden.
Dish?
I would go
Kane.
You've completed
two of the three.
For me, it won't be Sterling. It'll be Foden.
Foden or Saka, I think, basically. So Foden, probably.
Look, if they want to go very aggressive, if they want to go very aggressive on Saka, but the thing is, you need somebody to transition. Yeah, you need to transition the ball as well, and that's where Foden edges.
We're not even mentioning Jack Grealish, by the way.
Yeah,
no, I don't think
he's gonna gonna have. If look, Southgate might change it up and play Grealish.
I think he's the only player, okay, apart from Bukayo Saka, but only winger for England that could go shoulder to shoulder with one of the Senegalese defenders.
Okay, you have a point there. And when you're driving
at the Senegalese defense, you need someone who can, you know, brush up against them. And I don't think Rashford, Sterling, or Foden.
That's probably Saka's downfall as well. Not to say that he's not strong enough and he doesn't get stuck in, but, you know,
physically,
against those, you know, it could be I expect a very physical game against the Senegalese players, and especially the defenders. You look at their back line, they're so big, guys like Koulibaly, and, you know, I feel like maybe, you know, now that you mentioned it, like, he's not my favorite.
Is this a game for Jack Grealish?
Maybe Jack Grealish will feel like, you know, this is an opportunity to get some minutes.
Bit of an expert at drawing fouls, actually.
Yeah.
I think his days at Aston Villa.
I think every English player is an expert at drawing fouls. But, it does remain to be an interesting World Cup. Of course, at the time of recording, not all the round of 16 fixtures have, been out, or the group stage hasn't concluded, rather. So there are two teams that have already booked their spots early in the next round that I do want to touch on, because personally, these are my two favorites. These are the two teams I feel that are untouchable. And if they were to meet,
Maybe they'll both win it.
I think if they were to meet, I feel like that would be the final, before the final. And in case you haven't, you know, figured out who I'm talking about yet, I think, Chad?
Yeah, it's Portugal and Brazil.
Yeah, Portugal and Brazil. I feel like, let's start with Portugal. Desh. Can I just say before, okay, let's start with me actually. Portugal, they've the only team who have done something from, and this is a discussion we're having off air, I think earlier this week, is they're the only big team or big nation that have injected life into the final 15, 20 minutes or so. You've seen Spain drop off, Germany drop off, England. Brazil drop off, England drop off. Yeah. But there's only one team who have done it in both the fixtures they've played so far. Obviously, at the time of recording, they haven't played their third, but they're the only team who could have zero shots on target until the 70th minute and end the game with 20. It's just an incredibly insane amount of, you know, mileage that they're willing to cover and stuff. But yeah, Portugal, I feel like because of that, you know, that resilience to never give up, we'll see them.
I must be honest. I know you were always a fan of Portugal, but I genuinely thought that, you know, it might be past them, this squad. You know, there's a lot of aging players. You know, you think of players like
Ronaldo,
Pepe. But not so much Ronaldo, because he should be in there, but like more defense, you know, like, you know, not everyone's a Thiago Silva, can play till like 37, 38 years old.
Pepe's 39.
No, but Pepe is actually, I have to say, I've eaten my words here, because Portugal have been fantastic. They've been so impressive. I just thought that they had a good 11 on the field. They've got quality off the bench. You think of players like Leao from AC Milan, who's come on. Yeah. You know, they are, like, you know, the guys were so ready and eager to get to come off the bench and not just say, "Oh, I played in the World Cup." They're keen to impress, and you see with the Portuguese players, when they come off the bench, they're looking to, even if it's 10 minutes, maybe I can convince you that I'm good enough to start. Yeah. That's the feeling I get by watching them. They don't drop it a notch. They just pick it up even. And I just feel like they do have the quality. I think they've been one of the most impressive sides so far. Bruno Fernandes is hitting his straps.
Has he been the player of the tournament for you? Because I've asked Desh.
He's definitely one of the players of the tournament, but arguably the best midfielder At the World Cup. I'd say that.
He's having a very good tournament, actually.
Certainly Portugal's best player.
Definitely. There's a lot of talking points when I think of Portugal. Mm. You know what's happening with Ronaldo's contract, how that affects the camp. If you look at that, it was a Fernandes brace against Uruguay. But to the Portuguese Federation, rumored to have sent evidence claiming that the goal should have been awarded to Ronaldo. You know, he hasn't scored from open play in the World Cup as yet. Mm. Is this the game to do it? In their opening fixture against Ghana, five goal thriller that could have gone to six and, you know, like...
and beyond.
I'm not sure if you guys watched that, but the closing stages of that game, the Portuguese goalkeeper puts the ball down.
Yeah.
Doesn't see the Ghanaian attacker Iñaki Williams behind him, and it nearly was a 3-3. So again, you know, you mentioned experience, you know, the legs in the team, but that is a rookie error that should never happen at a FIFA World Cup.
I think there's no balance between having too much experience to what Chad is saying and to having very little experience to what you're saying, because there are players who are there and are doing it for the first time, like Diogo Costa in goals. And, you know, there's a lot of players.
He's highly rated.
And even Rafael Leao that you mentioned, and, you know, the other players, João Felix. And, you know, this is a young crop of players. And even Matheus Nunes, who I'm a huge fan of at Wolves, when he comes off the bench, so much talent there. But I get the side of, you know, no experience. And then maybe it's good that there is, you know, that experience of Pepe and Bruno Fernandes and Ronaldo as well.
Yeah.
How far can this Portuguese team go?
All the way. Really all the way. They probably are, for me, the second best team in the tournament behind Brazil. Mm-hmm. But at the end of it, if you told me that, you know, Portugal won the World Cup and I missed the rest of the tournament, it wouldn't shock me because of what I've seen in this tournament at Qatar. And I've also, we know the quality that they have. And, you know, there's a lot of players that we haven't touched on, guys like Danilo Guerrero. They are top players. Bernardo Silva, another good player. You know, they have quality. They have togetherness, because there was a lot of question marks, you know, with whether Bruno and Paul Pogba, whether they united, whether whether the team is, you know, are they like, is it a case of like what's happening at Belgium, where, you know, the team is, the change room is divided and players are not talking to each other.
Did you say Paul Pogba? Did you say Paul Pogba?
Did I say Paul Pogba?
I thought, you know, that Paul Pogba, hashtag Paul problems.
I genuinely thought it could be a case of that, but, you know, it hasn't been that
long. Yeah, I thought you were going to throw Pogba's name in there. I was so eager to see where that was going.
Look, the opponents in this one is South Korea, and they aren't pushovers by any stretch of their imagination, you know. Against Ghana, they also had a 5-goal thriller, which they came out on the wrong side of, but they attempted 22 shots in that one. That speaks volumes about them. Obviously hard done by the result. I think they come into this one just on 1 point, which they earned against Uruguay. They had 43% possession in that one, but didn't have a shot on target. So it's, I think they did catch a wake-up call, and they did spring into life against Ghana. And it could be like all to play for in this one. So I'm intrigued to see what happens, you know, given, as I said, the trouble in Portuguese camp right now, a lot of questions. Is this the time that, that South Korea will stand up, to what is a European heavyweight? You know, Portugal have trophies in their cabinet. You know, if you look at their two major tournaments, and I think the nations.
With this squad, actually.
Yeah. So, Portugal should be looking at a huge victory here, but I'm not convinced. South Korea, they can still qualify.
It's just more on the line for South Korea.
Yeah, they can still qualify. They need this one. Portugal have already qualified,
so it could be a France-Tunisia situation.
It could be, but again, like, I think South Korea are in for the W in this one.
Wow,
sure. I think the only way if that happens is if Portugal dress players.
And like play five of them only. But yeah, I wanna.
It's almost like a Netherlands prediction.
I wanna ask a question, and it's a hard one to answer because of, you know, the football knowledge that you guys have building up to the World Cup. It, you know, didn't just start, you know, this month or well last month. But if you watched international football for the first time at the start of the World Cup. Chad, I'll start with you. If you watched international football for the first time, you don't know about Brazil being favorites. You don't know about Neymar Jr. You're seeing the World Cup for the first time. Because there are people who do that. They'll watch football for the first time.
Yeah.
Who has been your favorite?
Team.
Well, who would you make favorites based on watching football for the first time at this World Cup?
I would definitely still make Brazil the favorites. But I would definitely say that Africa's best team is Morocco.
Sure. Who would you make the favorites, Desh?
The favorites?
Because when Chad, actually what made me think of this is when Chad said Portugal have been the second best team behind Brazil. I'm thinking, okay, have Brazil been the best team? And then I'm thinking, actually, probably not. I think they've done things in a certain way that could lead you to suggest that, you know.
Okay, so then can I just say, I know you're looking at on the pitch, like, you know, performances. Yeah. I'm looking at squad still. And I'm just like,
no, you don't know anything about.
Okay. But
you're just watching football for the first time.
Then perhaps Portugal.
Is it?
Yeah. Perhaps Portugal.
I decline to comment.
Because you've watched football all your life.
It's really, I'm too close to a sport to say as a neutral. I can never utter those terms. And I'll go one further.
I should have said that.
I'll go one further and say that there are no favorites for me. You know, I can look at every single team and say they can be beat on the day. Mm. Nobody is as good as to be labeled a favorite. Like, my prediction for Netherlands to win is just that, a prediction.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, football, it always throws like something at you. Now the ball is round, it's 11 versus 11. Anything can happen on the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we're calling England Senegal, you know, some of us feel Senegal. You know,
it just shows this, the quality.
Yeah,
of this World
it is the World Cup after all. You know this. You know, it's just stories of underdogs. You know, you look at Denmark. I mean, excuse me, Australia.
Yeah,
in there, USA in there. Yeah,
yeah.
Like, this is the Argentina. World Cup, guys. There are no favorites, and I said it in the first podcast. I'll say it again. I don't think Brazil are lifting it.
Wow. Chad, you seem to think otherwise, though.
No, I'm quite confident. You know, very confident in Brazil. Again, maybe it's because I know the players.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've seen their squad. Yeah. I know the quality that they have. I know where which teams they play for. And, you know, they can really... We were saying this on the previous podcast of how Brazil are so fortunate that they can field two teams and their A team, they can actually put out a second team that will compete and probably still qualify and win the group.
Yeah.
So, you know, but then again, also I'm just thinking about it. What a difference a week makes with the podcast. Last time we were praising Herve Renard and today he's sacked. You know, he's sacked. So.
Wow, I didn't catch that headline.
Yeah.
But on my point for Brazil, you know, as to what,
on your hashtag, like, ABB, anyone but Brazil.
Yeah, thanks for explaining that for the listeners. So my point on Brazil as to why they won't win it is because all you need is one injury to that back line and you'll see the defense crumble.
Is they it the back no, line or the center backs in particular?
There's no backup defenders. Mm. You know, I think there's only Bremer from Juventus.
Yeah.
That's, you know, if he's going to... Is he going to replace Thiago Silva?
He's a highly rated defender, but I do...
But he's not Marquinhos or Thiago Silva.
He's also not Gabriel, who I still feel like they really should have brought in. That was, I think, I'm hoping that they don't pay the price for that.
Therein lies my point. All you need is something to happen to that backline, and there could be an implosion in that team.
I'll tell you what, though. Thiago Silva, he's old. He's very old. One thing he's never ever done, PSG, AC Milan, Chelsea, you name it. I don't remember him being an injury-prone player. And that shows his legs.
Like almost every game for Chelsea.
He plays almost every game, Saturday, Wednesday. I don't know. Like, look, I don't want to, you know, I believe in jinx and like, you know, like touching wood and stuff like that. I don't want to, you know, say anything that would obviously like curse him, but I feel like he hasn't, you know, been an injury struck player before. Neither has Marquinhos.
I hear you. And in fact, I'd say the Brazil defense is better than the Brazil attack.
You know,
they when I watch them,
they haven't faced the shots.
They set up so solid. And therein lies, you know, another like nugget over there. They haven't had a shot levied faced against them. Yeah. That's because they are so disciplined, so well trained. And, you know, you just, that's, again, this is football. All you need is one injury.
Can I name my entire player of the tournament?
Now. Sure, I'll have it.
Casemiro.
I can
understand that. Yeah. Casemiro has been fantastic. He's been absolutely brilliant.
And I think he will walk away with the player of the tournament award and will kiss that
Depending on what happens.
Jules Rimet. he is going to kiss that trophy and in Desha's face. But I'm actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to like send you voice notes, post pictures, tag you on social media.
Yeah, if you can see it. But for me, I have a small feeling.
I think after what Jesse's just said, I'm just worried about Richarlison's tackles.
And I'm Thiago Silva in training. In training, yeah. Just protect Thiago Silva's legs. But let us know what you think. If you do agree with what Desh has to say, whether it'll be anyone but Brazil, let us know in the comments, or if you agree with Chad and I, who seem to be of the notion that Brazil will win this FIFA World Cup with relative ease. Let us know, and if your comment does hit the target, we will credit your account with the 200 Rand Hollywood Bets voucher. Desh, Chad, any final words? I know it's the World Cup edition, so, you know.
Let's go Morocco. Let's go Morocco. I've been impressed with them. Mm-hmm. I want to see them continue. So let's go with Morocco.
For me, don't sleep on the African nations. You know, you guys are very heavy on Brazil. They're playing Cameroon tomorrow. Mm. Again, another African nation that'll be looking for a skull like this. And then there's Ghana also in action. So, we are African. And it's good to see.
You almost tried to convince me that you're an African.
Yeah. You said it with the question mark.
We are African.
Like, I am African, right?
Cameroon
can still qualify.
Yeah. I'll be behind one African nation this World Cup, and that's Senegal. I'm not, you know.
Well, also don't really care for England.
I can't stand England.
Four Arsenal players in that squad.
And well, one's gone home for personal reasons, Ben White. But yeah, Aaron Ramsdale not playing, Bukayo Saka. You guys just put him out, your preferred front three. So don't really care too much for this team, to be honest. But yeah, I think let's end on that note. It's going to be an interesting, knockout round of football. And I'm intrigued to get to it, gentlemen. Until next week.
It's been a pleasure. Cheers.
Cheers.